I do want to say thank you guys so much for the gifts this morning. It is an honor and a pleasure to be able to serve the church here, and I couldn't do it without the amazing people that are here in this congregation that help so much, from people filling in and allowing me the opportunity to go to, went to Orlando this past week, had a great time and was able to get refreshed. But I stated this morning, just a small time away from church for me is tough. I really enjoy being here. I really enjoy being with you, to be able to discuss with you, and as always, to be able to just live our lives together. So I'm excited to be back this week. I will say that I thought I got rotten good with the speaking in tongues last week, and then this week we go back in. Ladies, I love you. I absolutely love you, and because of that, I'm going to preach the word boldly this morning. But you know how Gallagher, you guys ever remember the comedian Gallagher? Anybody remember him? And there was this time in whenever I was growing up, and I don't know what was awesome about Gallagher, but I couldn't stop watching him. Because all he really did was just smash fruit over and over again and spray it on people. But being able to watch that, to me, was so much fun. This morning, as we go in, I'm hoping there's not the opposite end. Know that the word, I'm not in any way apologizing for the word, but in the way that we take it in, sometimes can be messy. And sometimes whenever we proclaim the word, that it comes out and it flows upon us, right? And then we feel like we're sometimes in a much more serious Gallagher event at times, whenever things are being spewed out that are good for us and are righteous, but we don't want to hear it, especially in our culture. We've been going through, we do know that the church at Corinth, if you guys want to follow us, as Paul's first letter in the church of Corinth, we're in 1 Corinthians. We've made it all the way to chapter 14. Ralton preached the first 25 verses last week. I have not had the opportunity to listen to that sermon. And you guys say, well, why not? You had a whole week. Because the guy that usually puts that sermon online for us was at Legoland with me. So Cody did an amazing job recording it and getting it prepped and ready and getting our sound going. But Cody, we got to get you into the website building. What do you think? Yeah, okay. Luke and his family are on their way back now. They decided to spend a couple of days at the beach, and much needed rest and relaxation for them. So I did not have the opportunity to listen to Ralton's sermon, but through some discussion throughout the week, if you guys have not heard, Ron's wife Renee, her mother is going through some really bad sickness at this point in time, and I don't know how much the family wants to disclose, but it's a pretty rough week for them. So be in prayer with them. Ralton is currently either preparing to go back to the hospital or at the hospital this morning with Renee and her mother. So just be in prayer for them. But through some discussions that we had this week, he had the opportunity to preach on the first 25 verses and really dig deeper into tongues. And you say, man, we've been talking about tongues for weeks now. Yeah, it has been. It's been a while. We discuss them constantly. And the reason that we discuss these things is because the church at Corinth was having some real, real problems. And one of the problems that they were having is there was no order within their services, within their gatherings. One of the things that I have noticed in time is I sometimes have difficulty understanding conversation when there's a lot of things going on. And it's not because my mind is in many multiple places. It's not because my hearing's bad. As a matter of fact, my vision is so bad that throughout the years, my hearing has gotten significantly better. This was a terrible time with my wife sitting right here in front of me to disclose that information. But it has. As a matter of fact, when I go to my physical each and every year, they say, man, your hearing is better than it was when you started here. And it's like, yeah, I can't see anything, so I might as well be able to hear it. And one of the problems that I have with having such good hearing is that constantly I hear too many things going on at once. And I'm trying to pay attention to all the multiple things, and it ends up coming into like a white noise type static situation for me, where I'm trying to focus in on something, but this other thing is happening over here, and I hear it, and then I turn and to see what I hear, and then all of a sudden something happens over here. And the church was having these same problems in Corinth. They were gathering together, and everybody had these gifts, and they were deciding that they were going to all share these gifts at the exact same time. What kind of mass chaos would that be? Now let me ask you this. If this morning Ron came back in the door and he said, let me grab the other lapel mic. And then Tyler said, hey, I've got the handheld right here. I'm going to grab it. And I said, well, I've prepped for this sermon from verses 26 through 40 through the end of this chapter. And Tyler said, yeah, but I really want to go into 2 Timothy and I'm going to preach from it. And Ron said, hey, if anybody knows, on Wednesday nights we're going through 1 Samuel. And he's been nerding out, geeking out with 1 Samuel. He said, hey, I just want to go ahead and get ready for Wednesday night's lesson. I'm going to preach it. And we all preached it at the exact same time here. How confusing do you think that would be? Be unbelievably confusing. You say, wait a minute, we just had three different guys get up here and preach at the exact same time three different sermons. Or how about if we led worship and we had a couple of our worship leaders come up this morning, them and their families help lead worship. Let's say Tyler came up here and he said, let's start with this worship set. And all of a sudden, Caleb said, yeah, but I'm really feeling this, and I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to start with God Gets a Great Dance Floor at the exact same time. And we had equally, at the same time, worshiping two different ways, two different forms. Although individually they would probably sound fantastic, both of them singing at the same time would be confusing, would it not? I mean, I wouldn't know whether I needed to raise my hand or jump around. You got to figure out one or the other. The church was having the same problem. And we see that in churches today. We see that in the charismatic movement within churches. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have any charisma. I'm not saying that at all. Because one of the problems that I believe that we have as Baptists, and specifically as Southern Baptists, is the same way that we lay 6 foot underground, we stand up in the same exact manner during our worship services sometimes, like this. And we do nothing. We don't get excited. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have any charisma, but what you have in turn is you have the exact opposite end of the spectrum. And one of the reasons that Paul talked about speaking in tongues and those sort of things is because what ends up happening is that when people are given gifts to be able to speak in tongues, yes, there is a gift of speaking in tongues. No, it is not in the way that we use it. We don't roll around on the floor and string haja baba baba or whatever. We don't do those sort of things. But what we do is we speak in languages in which it can be interpreted. And if we all do those at different times, it is the same way as all of us getting here and singing totally different songs and leaning in totally different ways, or in sermons being preached in the exact same way. And the order of the service just goes to nothingness. It becomes white noise. It becomes confusion to somebody that walks in and says, hey, I want to visit Fireside this morning. And you say, man, we have an awesome opportunity for you to hear three different sermons this morning, all at the same time. And you sit down and we all start preaching, you would be confused. In the same way with the worship, and in the same way if we were using our gifts. And as I'm sure Ralton would have spoke last week, and as he got into those, the order that needs to be done when using those gifts also bleeds into many different aspects of the church. We will talk about today in the way in which we use our gifts orderly in the church, our roles as men and women in order in the church. And then at the end of this, there is a warning if we don't do these things on what exactly will happen to us. So let's start by opening God's word to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to start at verse 26 and read to the end of the chapter. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "What then, brothers and sisters? Whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, another tongue, or an interpretation. Everything is to be done for building up. If anyone speaks in another tongue, there are to be only two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no interpreter, that person is to keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate. But if something has been revealed to another person sitting there, the first prophet should be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophet's spirits are subject to the prophets, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to submit themselves, as the law also says. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, since it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Or did the word of God originate from you? Or did it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should recognize that what I write to you is the Lord's command. If anyone ignores this, he will be ignored. So then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in other tongues, but everything is to be done decently and in order." So as we go through those, some of us will sit here and say, "Man, I do not like part of those verses. I do not like the way in which that is spoken. I do not agree with that. Our culture tells us differently." But there's a reason that we share these things. There's a reason that we go through the way in which that we speak. We start here. It says, "What then, brothers and sisters, whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, another tongue or interpretation." He's speaking to the church here directly, and he's showing all of these gifts, and he's claiming that each and every one of you here as the church, if anybody here is not a believer, then one of two things: either we're not directly speaking to you, or we are preparing for a time in which you become a believer. But he is directly speaking to the church, to the believers here. And he's saying, each of you have come as believers, and each of you have something to give. Each of you have something that you could do, something that is important, that is needed, a gift that is here. It's not just to come in and sit and watch and go home, but each of you has something, whether it be a hymn or teaching or revelation or another tongue or the gift to be able to do multiple things. Each and every one of us not only has that ability, but is expected to use those abilities. You say, "But wait a minute, we've been talking for weeks and weeks and weeks about speaking in tongues and how it's not exactly the way in which we were talking or that we've been raised up to believe they are." All of these things we have to have clarity and order in, is what he's saying, but they must be used. See, he starts this part in verse 26 and ends also with using these gifts, using the things that God gives us, not to just be spectators of other people's gifts. Each and every one of you as followers of Christ have the ability to go out and glorify God through the gifts that he has given you. The question is, are we using them, one, and if we are we using them in an orderly way? And you say, well, why do we need order? I talked about my hearing earlier being good. And one of the things that really benefits is the ability to understand what you hear. And if we have mass confusion and everybody going here, there, and everywhere, then we can't come in and actually hear what God desires us to hear. There is too much distraction in that. We put too much of ourselves in that. But we must be used. So in all these things, everything is to be done for building up. So not only should we use these gifts and use them orderly, not only are we all given gifts, but we should all use these gifts to build God's kingdom, to build the church up, not to tear down, to grow in our faith, to share the gospel further, to ensure that others know what their roles are, to be able to know that they know who God is. We should use these. Everything is to be done for building up. It says, if anyone speaks in another tongue, there are to be only two, or at the most three. So when we go back to this charismatic movement we've been talking about, in turn, we're not talking about what tongues are. We're actually going to specifically talk about how to use them in this situation. As we've talked now before, the tongues would have been using these languages to be able to share the gospel to others. But in turn, if we are going to be able to share the gospel to others, then why would we be speaking in tongues in ways that everyone in mass chaos is speaking everywhere? As a matter of fact, he says, not only should only two or three speak in tongues, they should also do it in order. In other words, if somebody has something to say, someone has something to speak in tongues, and somebody else needs to speak in tongues, then you do exactly what we teach our little kiddos to do. What do we teach? We've got a lot of teachers in here, right? And when we ask questions every now and then, for the teachers, raise your hand if you've ever had a class that everybody just wants to talk at once, right? Everybody wants to talk at once. And we don't say, most of the time, we don't say, just give me the answers, do we? We don't. Why? Because there would be disorder, and you can't say, yeah, that was absolutely right, Billy. When standing right beside Billy is somebody that got it wrong. They don't know that they got it wrong, but they think that they got it right. And we get confused. So he said, if you're going to speak in tongues and you're actually going to relay through this language that God has given us, and I do believe that it would have been the ability for people of two different origins. As Ralton told me last week that he spoke, that the church at Corinth, that Corinth was a melting pot of different people coming in. So you would have, we were down in Orlando this week. And as you're walking through, there are just a huge variety of different people from different languages. There are people that I would assume were speaking Spanish, people that I assume were speaking some sort of Chinese. There were some that were speaking just all sorts of different languages and all speaking at the same time. And as you walk through and you hear all these languages, the only thing that you could figure out is, hey, they're not speaking what I'm speaking. And you walk through. However, if the gospel was needing to be taught, the ability to be able to speak to these other people would have been very needed in a place like Corinth, where there was this melting pot, kind of like Orlando, of people coming in. And people were there needing to hear the gospel. And someone, for me, that speaks English could have been able to speak to somebody that spoke Mandarin and them understand it. However, there was this need to not be confused. So he said, use them one at a time. So whenever I'm speaking to someone that is speaking Mandarin, I would get done with what was needed to be said, what God needed to be told, and then Caleb would come up and Caleb would speak to the person that was speaking Spanish. And it would be done in order. Makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? Why? Has it been the same as all of us coming in and singing hymns, but all different hymns being led by multiple different people, and you didn't know who to talk to or where to go? If people were just sitting here speaking, The other thing about tongues is it also says it is something that is very, very controlled. How do we know that it's controlled? This isn't just the Spirit took over me and then I just lost all consciousness and what came out came out. Say, Quirrell, how can you say that? Because what I've seen, what we see in the churches, what we see in the charismatic movements, what we see is that there are people that just fall into the floor, that people just speak and do all these sort of things, and the Spirit is taking over them. And I have even heard myself of stories of pastors saying, if I could yell at somebody and they stop, then the Spirit wasn't in them and they were faking it. That is wrong. And you say, well, how is that wrong? Because Paul states here, his exact statement is, if anyone speaks in another tongue, there are to be only two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let someone interrupt. But if there is no interpreter, that person is to keep silent. So even though you can speak the other language, says you are to keep silent. It's not just to say there are only two or three, but it gives us full ability to use these gifts. That's one of the problems that the church has really faced, is that we believe in a lot of these gifts, but we don't believe in the power and the boldness to be able to use them. We walk around just thinking, if God wants to use me, and we'd much rather put on a show than actually go out and boldly proclaim the gospel, to boldly use the gifts that are given to us. If there is disorder, at least it's not our fault. But in order, we have to be held accountable. We have to use them. We have to do things. We have to go in and be the church. Order. And he goes in even farther. He says, but if there is no interpreter, that person is to keep silent in the church and to speak to himself and to God, to pray, to share, to keep silent, to not confuse, not to distract, but to build up. And then we go into two or three prophets should speak and others should evaluate. And we think of this word, this word prophet, that each and every one of us probably growing up thinks of the word prophet as somebody that would come in and tell some big prophetic something that would say, hey, one day this is going to happen, or I see this vision. But what that word prophet actually means now today is what I talked about, and someone coming and proclaiming and reading the gospel, in sharing the gospel, in prophesying over the gospel by reading God's word, by sharing God's word to us. That's why I'd be very, very cautious today. And we talk about these charismatic movements for God to say, hey, I really feel, and we see these. I was watching some of these preachers that are online, you know, the Kenneth Copelands and the Jesse Duplantises, and they say, God gave me a vision that one day I would have a $50 million house and a private jet plane, and you laugh. But those are things that have actually been preached out of the pulpit. I would be very cautious when somebody says, hey, God has given me a vision that says that we should build or do this. There are times in which those things were done. God was very specific in wanting the temple built and a place to worship to be built. But it was not for the building up of the people, but the building up of God. And in other words, when God was built up, then the people were brought up through God and through Christ. It is not for the purpose of making anybody rich. It is not for the purpose of saying, one of the things that I have a real problem with is the church now. When we go and we evaluate and we look and we read through resumes, one of the things that we put on a resume is that I was able to complete a building project with another church. And people say, if that pastor was able to do that, if he was able to build up another church, then he had a way to bring people in and to bring money in. And if he was able to bring people and money in, we want that. Yes, we absolutely have goals. every single year that we have, and this year on our budget, I put that I would like to see us have a family life center one day. I think it would be an amazing tool for us to be able to share the word, to be able to bring people in the times that power is out, to maybe have a generator system that would allow people to come in and keep warm, to take showers, to eat, for our kids to have a safe place to come and play. And all those things sound great, but the purpose for each and every one of those things is for us to be able to use those as tools to proclaim the gospel. Not to build ourselves up, not to put them on some resume, not to show the community that we were able to bring in this amount of tithe or that amount of tithe, that we were able to raise this or raise that, but the true measure is, are we proclaiming the gospel to the world? All the other stuff falls in. If God sees fit, He will place you in a position to be able to have His word proclaimed. What I see is I see through Jesus' life, I see they said that He had not a place to lay down His head. He didn't roll around in the greatest new horse and buggy carriage or whatever they had at that point in time. He didn't go and have the fanciest place. He didn't have the nicest things. What He had was His word that was proclaimed to the world that He was the Savior. You don't see, you see the one that the least trustworthy of each and every one of those. And I'm not going to sit here and say that that's the way we should be, but the way that you can see the value of money in His life was that Judas took care of the money. Judas. Denise, I'm not in any way cutting you down on that because you did a fantastic job. Love you. We should not fall into a place where we think that prophesying is a way to become rich or wealthy. I'm very thankful for the gifts, but the gifts are a symbol of thankfulness from you guys, and I'm going to take them in that in the way that, hey, we were all faithful. There are so many more of you that deserve much more than this. We started a study this week. For those of you ladies that I am so glad to see that are in here today, for those of you that have put everything on the line to ensure that our kids are being taught why we're using these gifts, we're proclaiming the gospel, we are sharing. John MacArthur says, if it is possible for real Christians to be taken in by false prophets, when believers are careless about the study of and obedience to the word, lazy about prayer, and uncritical about the things of God, it is easy for them to be deceived by someone who pretends to be orthodox, especially if he is pleasant, positive, and permissive. It is so easy for us to get distracted. It's so easy for us to get in the wrong way, for us to think that everything is about building up worldly things. It is so easy to follow people that desire worldly things or their own things. It is so easy to fall into the desire to say, what does that church have to offer me or my kids? That is where I want to go. And we think about all the programs that we have. We think about the different trips that they go on. We think about the way in which they do this or do that, or the things that they give out, or all those things, and we forget to go back and ask, when they prophesy, do they share the word in truth and in love? Do they share the word? Do they proclaim the gospel, or do they build themselves up? Do they do these things, or do they build Christ first? Says, but something has been revealed in the same way. He talks here that if we are to preach, if we are to proclaim the gospel, to not all do it at the same time, but to do it in order, to all be like-minded. But if some of God is using somebody else, Wednesday nights is a great example of that. I absolutely love Wednesday nights. If you haven't come to a Wednesday night, study. It's a much smaller group study. We sit here and we talk, and there are times where we go back and forth, have the awesome opportunity of having some people in there that want to discuss, want to share, and we take time, we ask questions, we go back and forth, we have discussion, and we share God's word, and we are built up, but we do it in an orderly way. And then he goes in and says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophet's spirits are subject to the prophets, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." Not only should be orderly, but we should be peaceful and loving and kind. And then we get into the next portion. So not only do we have in the way that we conduct our services and the way that our roles are to be set, now we go into, we've had the problems with speaking in tongues and everybody wants to just all be in this disorder. And now we go into in the way that we were created and the distractions that we've had. We do know from the book of Genesis, when we get to the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, that it stated that Eve would seek after Adam's role. That was one of the things that would come out of that. That she would constantly seek his position. And he speaks here because the church 2,000 years ago was having the same problem the church is today. And that is for a couple things. That one, men are not stepping up and taking their rightful place as the leaders in the household and the leaders in the church. And two, that women are wanting to step up and take those roles. And this is a time where you say that I go back to the Gallagher fruit process. And it's not each and every one of us doesn't want to hear it. But we're going to splatter it out there either way, because sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's not the way that we want to go. See, equally to the fact that in churches today that we have a problem with ladies wanting to take the role as leaders, we also have men that are too cowardly to stand up and take their rightful positions and sacrifice for their families. Yes, sacrifice. And he has these words here that are shared and reiterated multiple times. He says, "As in all the church of the saints, the women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to submit themselves, as the law also says. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, since it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church." Now, when we get here and we read these words, we say, well, wait a minute. If you go back to chapter 11, he talks about if a woman is prophesying to have covering over her head. And as we read here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, at the end of the verses that we read, that we have places in which women speak and are used. Absolutely, ladies, you are used and needed and unbelievably important. Unbelievably important. As a matter of fact, Caleb, I didn't even tell Caleb I was going to use him, but I've been thinking about this whole time. We had a little discussion about some Vans and some Hey Dudes, right? Would you come up here for just a second? Just a second. It's a visual. It's just a visual. So I got a question. We've been talking a lot about shoes and stuff, right? We talk a whole lot about shoes. Yeah, Chad and I have a lot of discussions about shoes. Chad has more shoes than anybody I know. It's kind of funny, okay? But when we talk about shoes, one of the things that we really talk about, one of the conversations that we had with Tyler this morning, is the comfort of shoes, right? And then we also talked about, man, when you break the soles in on the Hey Dudes, they're awesome. We've got these On Clouds. You guys heard about the On Clouds, right? You haven't heard about the On Clouds? My wife has told me about some On Clouds. What makes the On Clouds?
They're amazing.
Is it the soles? They're just comfortable. So, Caleb, I want you to do something for me. Can you take one shoe off for me? Hand me that shoe. I don't know. Whoo! No, I'm just kidding. So when we look at the shoe, it's made up of several different parts, but there's really two main parts, right? There is the sole of the shoe, and the part that connects you to the sole of the shoe, right? Whether it be the laces, mine don't have, well, they got fake laces. They don't really have laces. But the rest of this is there to connect you to the soul, right? So if I said, hey, of the two parts of this, which one would you rather have? The sole of the shoe or the leather part of the shoe?
I'd rather have both.
Why?
Because it works better that way.
But wait a minute. The sole is what gives you contact to the ground. It takes the brunt of the work. If there's something sharp, it protects you from something sharp. It protects you from rubbing up on the rocks, does it not? And all this does is just let you connect to the soul, but forget about that part. See, in the church and in our homes, us men are supposed to be the ones that are taking the brunt of the heat. We're supposed to be the ones protecting our family. We're the ones that are supposed to be the one having contact to the ground. But let me ask you this, Caleb. Act like the leather part of that shoe is not there. Just stand right on top of it. Okay? All you've got is a sole. The sole of your foot. Now take off running to me with it. Doesn't work, does it? It's still there. So I'm not going to do it. You can put the shoe back on at this point if you want to. But imagine now that the sole wasn't there and all you had was the top. And I laid down some Legos. I've been to Legoland. I'm telling you, stepping on a Lego is about like broke glass, okay? And I just laid down some Legos. How fun is it going to be walking across that? So wait a minute. If you don't have the top of the shoe to hold the sole onto you, you're going to walk across the shards and you're going to feel them. And if you have the top of the shoe, but you don't have something to take the pain and the brunt of it to sacrifice for the top of the shoe, you're still going to feel the pain. Appreciate you. The reason that I want to share that is because in our households today, we think, in our churches today, we think that, ladies, we think that we can deal without the soul and we don't need the soul to protect us. And men, we think that the soul is the most important part of the shoe and don't realize that we need the support of the ladies holding us up to be able to make it. That's what it takes. And neither one is any more than important, but their roles are different. And they are both respected. I'm going to tell you, I am really thankful for a pair of shoelaces whenever I'm out playing. I'm really thankful for something that holds those shoes to my feet. And man, a pair of shoelaces without a sole for something to walk on, if anybody's ever broke down their shoes, you're really thankful that something there is there to sacrifice to take the pain for you. And yet we think that it's sexist to say that men are to take and sacrifice for their families, and in turn they should be the head of the household. See, when we think about shoes and when we think about running races, we think all mainly about the soles, but it's much more than that. The soles are nothing without the support. Our households, men, we are nothing without our women. And women, you are nothing without your men. God's order was, men, for us to be the leaders. And women for us to, for y'all to support them in that. And it is not a lesser position or a greater position to be either one. It is the order in which God has set us up. Just as I said, either way, if we wouldn't have had the sole or if we wouldn't have had the leather on top, we would have still felt the pain and not being able to make the journey of the shoe. A household without a father as a leader or a household without a mother as support are equally doomed. See, as we read 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 8 and going through 15, it says, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Also, the women are to dress themselves in modest clothing, with decency and good sense, not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, or expensive apparel, not to show themselves off, But with good works, as is proper for women who profess to worship God, a woman is to learn quietly with full submission. I do not allow a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Instead, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. This is the order in which God said, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and transgressed. And here's where a lot of us want to end. But ladies, this is why I'm so thankful for you, and I'm so thankful for my wife, and I'm so thankful for my mother. It says, but she will be saved through the childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with good sense. You guys, you ladies have a pivotal job in raising our children and supporting us. You guys have a pivotal job in ensuring the next generation understands Christ. I am so thankful for the women in my life. And I am so thankful for the men in my life to have a father and a mother that equally know where they need to be. See, Alistair Begg says the headship of a man over woman no more diminishes the worth of a woman than God's headship over Christ. Men, our job is to show our ladies how to submit to Christ. We don't have any qualms in that, do we? We all say, yeah, that's our goal, is to be able to be servant leaders and to be servants of Christ first, to submit to him and to love him. And we take joy in being able to say that. For why? Because Christ saved us. He showed us a way to the cross. He showed us and gave us the ability to come into grace. He gives us grace. God gives us grace through Christ. And we are thankful for that order, are we not? Are we thankful that God came and that he gave his son for us, and that we are able to follow him in the way that we live, and that was the order in which we were given? Are we not thankful for the cross? And if we are thankful for the cross, then we ought to be thankful for the order of the cross, that God can look upon us because his son paid the price for our sin. Then as husbands, then we need to know that our job is to go and to lead our household in a way that leads them to the cross. And ladies, your job is to go in and support in that message, to support your husband, and neither of those roles should be diminished or thought of as less. That this feminist movement or this masculine movement or whatever, that they are all just ways to tear apart the household and to tear apart the order, to tear apart the church, and that each and every one of us may be different, but we are needed and important. And he ends here, Paul ends saying, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should recognize that what I write to you is the Lord's command. If you guys realize that this is God's word, not Kirill's word, this is the reason that we preach this way, the reason that we go through the entire book of 1 Corinthians is that everything is read. I challenge you to not only take what is said here, but to go home and study upon it. That it is the Lord's command. And if anybody ignores the way here, if anybody ignores his word, he says, he will be ignored. I don't like that part of that. I don't agree with that part of that. I was raised to be independent. I was raised to think about myself. It says, if you ignore God's word or you disagree with it, then the flaw is not in God, but the flaw is in us. So then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not be forbid speaking in tongues. Use your gifts. Don't step back. Use the gifts that God has given you. But he says here, but everything is to be done decently and in order. Use the gifts. Know the position in which God has placed us. Know the roles in which he has given us. And use them in the proper way and find joy in it. Understand how much God's love for us is and was. And he created us in this order Why? Because it works. It is godly. The desire that we should have is to be more Christ-like. In order to be more Christ-like, we have to put ourselves aside and seek more of Him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for this day. Thank You for allowing us to gather here to be able to read and to discuss Your Word, Lord. Lord, I thank You for allowing us to know You a little bit more each and every day, Lord, and just allow us to change us into who we should be, to shape us and mold us into who You desire us to be. Lord, love us. Lord, even in the times that we hear things that we don't want to hear, if it's You and it's godly, allow us to submit to them and allow us to understand them and find joy in them and allow us to live our lives in a way that draws others to You. Lord, I'm thankful for all that You do. But most importantly, I'm thankful for Jesus as He paid our sin debt for us. He took on sin, took on the punishment for that sin so that we could have grace in You through Jesus. Give us that faith. Allow us to know that it can only be in Christ alone, grace alone, and in faith alone. Amen.